Welcome to Streamer Consciousness, Episode 6. For the past week, more like 2 weeks, Gabby and I have taken all the energy our souls can handle and have put as much of it out onto the public in the capacity that we can to continue talking, to continue educating, to continue sparking change as this political movement continues to grow, expand, and persist, and especially resist the current administration. So, one of the main things we've also been doing is talking to our friends. And our friends come from various different political beliefs and backgrounds and stories, because every human is individual. So, one of the best things you could be doing right now is talking about this every single day, talking about race, talking about economic inequality, talking about politics, talking about change, because that's where it starts, discourse. And that's why we also have a podcast, because we love discourse and we understand its value. So this week, we bring you an episode of a conversation with our friends. And this first friend is one of my personal ones, one of my best friends, and she already is very politically aware. She's a political philosopher. She's a philosophy major. She's a wonderful human. And so this was a snippet of a conversation Alex and I had late one night.
Onto both parties.
And yeah.
Like hold it. Yeah. It's just, it's really, really messed up the current political system. But hey, have you done your census?
The school does it for you if you live on campus.
That's actually pretty dope. So,
shall yeah. We? Well, this is okay. I'm going to go into my census spiel. This is the first year that the census is online, which gives the colleges the opportunity just to put in upload all the information of students who live on campus, like their directory information, and then like report certain things like aggregate, like race, like age and stuff like that, and gender. Or sex. And so it like, because before you had to manually fill out the census, it was a lot harder. But yeah, this is the first year that you can do it online.
Thank you, Alex, for that PSA. Also, I am an official U.S. Census worker.
Congrats, dude!
This week, I gave in all 10 fingerprints to the FBI.
10? Holy shit.
All full 10. They scanned all full 10, and I was like, the government knows who I am.
So you can't, like, cut off.
I was like, the government knows who I am now. Yeah. Like,
this you're is never going to get to escape, Anna. You
exactly. That's what they knew. I was trying to escape, so they're like, let's give her the census job so she has to give in her information and her fingerprints to us without
why a chance. Why do they do all 10? Like, so you don't cut off a finger that you, like, give the, like, a
yeah,
fingerprint
to? So. I guess so. They took a lovely mug shot. I'm an official census worker, like the core of civic engagement.
Last time you get a mugshot.
You think I can turn New York State into a swing state, Alex? You think I can do it?
I mean,
you hear politicians across DC preach that all politics is local, and it really is. It starts with you organizing 300 people in your town. It starts with you talking in white spaces that black bodies don't have access to, and shit's hard. I cried a lot. Been crying a lot. Yeah. How do you not? You know, people are hurting. People are in pain, and like,
if you don't cry, I feel like there's something wrong with you. Or if you're not affected by it, then like, you're a psychopath.
Yeah, completely psychopathic and in a bubble. It's just like, it's empathy for other humans. You know what I mean? And yeah, you're right. Like you said, Alex, it's hard. You know, running just on empathy and doing things for the good of your heart, but you're right. Laws
need to be put in place. Like, the entire police academy needs to change its entire training structure. It needs to change everything. It starts there. And
90% of all police functions and duties probably don't need to bring a weapon with them. Like, they don't need to have a weapon on their person at all.
That's like, what I'm saying. You're hitting protesters when you have thousands of dollars of protective equipment on.
No, like, I know.
What do you mean? Why are you hurting these people? Like, they're no threat to you. Why they're throwing a water bottle at you. You know what I mean? I know,
and you're gonna go after them and with, like, pepper spray.
And a bat. You know what I mean? And, like, helmets and, like, shields and masks and, again, thousands of dollars in equipment on. And you see protesters as a threat. You know what I mean? It's just like, and also it's like, I don't know, police propaganda. You want cops to support you. There are amazing cops that are supporting this movement, but man, we just really hate the system you work for, so it's hard to accept you into our arms when you just, we really hate that you take orders from this, and that, like, it's hard because, like, you're trained to take these orders. You're trained to, like, fully put your entire reflective, like, not reflective, your, like, reaction or not reflexes based on what your training was.
Yeah.
So it's hard to also, be like,
there's so much, like, retaliation against cops that do say anything. That's why, like, there's, like, so much herd mentality, because they literally will, like, call you a rat. Like, if you say, if you speak up about anything.
That's what, like, the protesters said today. They're like, where the fuck are all the old people of the 70s and 80s? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that were out there protesting.
Yeah, they were out there. Like, where the fuck are they now?
My parents are going to the protest tomorrow. Say how proud I am of my papa. He donated $50,000 from his business to, like, helping, like, this organization that helps, like, get, like, incarcerated, like, Black people jobs after, and, like, job training and stuff like that.
That's fantastic, and that's amazing, and thanks to your pops, and thanks to all the other people that are donating out there. Gotta keep donating. Like, also, something that's very interesting and a comment I wanted to make, like, it's, and that's how a lot of people that are the people that are on the front lines are the people that are unemployed and most likely on unemployment. And it's kind of nuts to see the amount of circulation of donations that has occurred. We're all essentially redistributing that unemployment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the fact that we can do that, and we can show that, like, and it takes the people that are on unemployment to be able to do that. Like, if we can do that, then, like, people who make an absurd amount of money can also do that, too.
Yeah.
Just, like, be taxed just a little more and understand that that money's being redistributed.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not going to benefit you directly. It's might not,
but it will, though.
It will on the grand screen. In society, in all of that, in uplifting communities, uplifting people, and making a difference in one person's life. I came a long way. I had a lot. Well, it was just a lot of anger towards Democrats, because from a young age, I grew up in a very rich liberal bubble, and I was like, why are these rich liberals calling me Mexican and calling my friends terrorists and, like, calling my friends, like, horrible, wretched names for whatever ethnicity they were behind? I was like, what the fuck? Aren't 95% of our district Democrats? And I'm like, wait, you're all really, really wealthy, too, and you're all really, really privileged, and you're all bullies and have a lot of racism. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck this liberal party that I'm growing up with. Like, fuck these people. Like, you're segregating our community. You're exacerbating the economic inequality in our towns. Like,
attacking a Democrat shields them from, like, all the bad shit they do.
Yes, and all the things they frankly were blind to for their entire lives that they frankly did not need to handle. Why? Because they were completely in their own bubbles and with their own wealth. So that's what that's why I hated that so much. And I was like, fuck that, like, fuck that. You really are, it's just, the eliteness and the economic inequality gap in between the Democratic Party was just so absurd. I saw it imploding at a young age, and I was just so angry at it. You know what I mean? That's where my anger came from, and that's why, because, like, I didn't know what, like, I always grew up being like, oh, you're too Latina to be whatever you are, or you're too this to be whatever you are, or you're too that to be whatever you are. Like, people were always telling me what I was. Like, I got mad at being like, well, Democrats aid in, like, incarceration, like Kamala Harris, like Amy Klobuchar. You let these officers. you let these officers go.
Not gonna be BP. Like, there's no, like, yeah, this whole like, thing. Yeah. Like, she's done. Like,
you know, like, you're in these seats. You're the ones exacerbating this system. You know what I mean? You're the ones praising yourself on brown bodies when you're just playing the entire system. You had 200 years of representing and you still didn't change as much as you could have. I'm not saying there aren't people in politics right now that actually have a good heart and a good intent, but that game is so corrupt and that is so rigged. And if you haven't opened your eyes to be like, wow, you think I can make change in here? Like, that's really great, but that's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like breaking apart from that.
Built for change. Like,
yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Built for gridlock.
What?
It's built for gridlock. Like,
it is. Like, Dems, you gerrymandered. You know what I mean? You segregated. Like, I fucking saw right through you. I was like, fuck this. And I guess that's where a lot of the pain and resentment comes and just...
But yeah, no, there's like not... Like... And there actually was stuff, like, from the Obama administration that they, like, laid out that they, like, that was, like, a handbook, another handbook of guidelines. But, like, then it was completely thrown out, obviously, when Trump came in. And, like, that's just the problem. It's, like, anytime anyone tries to make progress, there's no political consequences for not doing it. So then people don't do it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Let's just talk about how it all sucks.
It's just no political consequences.
No one's got any political balls.
There you go. And that concludes.
They're all pussies.
They're all pussies. Just big pussies. Like, yo, you should listen to Matt Lesko. Matt Lesko one day was, like, standing in front of that wall. He's this kind of insane dude who just stands on the streets and yells at people and is like, hey, the government has so much money to give you, you should take it. And, like, he provides people with information to grants for either small businesses or people in need, because there are specific grants in the government allocated for anyone and everyone. So they have access to that. So he was always a proponent of being like, hey, there's government, there's money there. You know what I mean? Like, use that money. Like, and that's what he said. This is, like, what struck such a strong chord with me, was him saying, him pointing at at the House of Representatives, being like, I could work in there. You know what I mean? But that would require me trying to convince those people. I don't care about those people. Like, I care about the American people. I care about being here in front of you, trying to convince you what you're thinking about, what you're doing. Like, that's what I find more interesting. Not these people, because these people are run by Wall Street.
Well, it's like direct action versus, like,
that's
performative
bureaucracy. Exactly. Yeah, and it's a lot of conversations to have.
Hey, so now you're transitioning into the second part of the episode, and you are going to be entering a room with my friends TT, Leah, and Yvette, and you will be hearing our discussion on race and what's going on in our country and emotions and what the stars have to do with what's going on and how our generation wants to see change, and we will rebel
to make change,
the political atmosphere, the safety of people in this country. Please listen
to get inside our minds.
So in my whole philosophy career, we always taught, like, I've taken a class of, like, global politics and what does it mean to be a global citizen. And then I've taken a class, like, black and white segregation and what does that look like in your community and what's going on. Like, what resources do black communities get versus white communities? And, like, redlining is, like, literally our fucking project. Redlining. So you literally have, you see...
Oh, did you see that? You saw the video.
Oh, no. No, this is just, like, what, like, my... Yeah, I learned about this. Yeah, exactly. My whole philosophy career is like, you know, I'm learning these topics, you know, and it's like, when you're white learning about these topics, you're just learning about them as, like, things, but it's so different when you experience it, right? Like, it's like, it's so, like, you experience your racism firsthand versus me. It's like, I have to learn about it and learn about your experiences, and it's like, that's... That's a fucking privilege in itself. For me, like, oh, I'm learning about you, and you're literally going through this shit, and it's, like, literally touching you. It's memories in your mind versus, like, textbooks and books in my mind.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because textbooks and books to me is shit. Because I didn't go through that. It's what I'm going through right now, you know? And it's still going on.
Exactly.
So it's like, and it's like, I didn't deal with racism even outside of racism. I deal with racism in my own family. It's like, my whole family was racist. And they looked at me as like, I would have my aunt call me a monkey and like, call me like black and like all this shit because my grandfather was super racist. And like, I had to deal with that in my own family, but I learned to love those people as I grew older, and it's crazy. It's like, I ended up, like, loving that my aunt, even though she did all that to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like how...
You gotta teach them and talk about it.
And that's, like, a good fact of how you can actually reverse racism. I'm like, I'm not here, like...
So I love to literally talk to your family.
And now she's like,
the older people.
Now she's like, wow, you're actually like my favorite freaking niece. Like, you're my princess. Like, she calls me princess. Like, she loves me. Like, and it's like so, like, how it changes. Like, it's insane.
But it's crazy how people of color, black people, every single day, they make it known to talk about these things, but white people didn't care before. They had to see someone fucking get killed by a police officer in their fucking phones for 10 minutes and see him fucking scream for his fucking life for them to realize, oh wait, this is actually really fucked up. We should make it a thing to always talk about these ideas, not just have it only when it's like on the news or whatever.
Exactly.
No, this is something that people go through every single fucking day, so make it, put it in your fucking mouth and talk about
every
it
every day,
because you don't have to experience it, so fucking talk about it because you're not experiencing it.
Exactly. You're so lucky that you don't have to experience it. Like, you're safe. Like, you're almost safe in a way. Like,
there's things they can do to, like, stop it from...
Like, if I had... If I was, like... If I had the power to be, like, a white male or even a white woman, like, I would have such a different perspective in life than I do now. Because I'm so oppressed that sometimes I feel like I will be slammed for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't feel as oppressed where it's, like, you guys are openly, like...
You double think about certain things you do.
Exactly.
And we don't even realize what we have to double think about, like, you know,
architecture and everything.
That's what you're explaining, the English, remember your conspiracy theory teacher?
Like, this all comes back.
I remember every conversation I have with people that
repeats itself for a reason, because we haven't changed shit. Like, in reality, nothing has changed at all. That's why I believe that we are the change, because we have evolved for so many years. And now that when I talk to people in the city, especially, like, I've met so many different people that I realize, wow, people are actually open-minded now. Like, people, I've never met so many people that actually, like, think in different ways like me.
City. You go more down south.
Yeah.
It's still that same white versus black type of thing, you know?
But it's people coming from everywhere. I'm meeting for people from all around the world. It's not just from the city, you know?
You're more likely to experience that in the city because it's so many more people versus
New York. New York is very forward-thinking compared to a lot of places in the U.S., unfortunately.
I mean,
if you can feel it here in New York, is it not so that forward? Can you imagine how those other places
are? I lived in South Carolina for 3 months, and...
South Carolina, I've never...
Utopian society idea for podcasts.
Sorry. They're all super Trump supporters. Like, they're all Trump supporters. But I don't know. It's, like, different. Like, they're super nice still. Like, it's weird. Like, because I never felt any, like, racism from anybody I've met there. Like...
There are good... Trump sucks, okay? But are good people that do support him out there.
It's anybody who has money, really.
Yeah.
For economic reasons, that's the only reason.
Exactly.
Good, but other than that...
Exactly. So that's...
So... It's like people are blaming it on one person, and it's like, it's not him.
It's not all one person.
It's not just Trump. It's like so much more than that.
And everyone has to realize, like... The president is a face. at the end, like, yes, they have a lot of power, don't get me wrong, but they're also a face. There's a lot
Congress
of people
makes the rules,
behind.
People.
There's a lot of people behind that president.
Congress
have
makes
a lot
rules.
More,
the president just executes
you know,
the rules.
Exactly. Like, he sucks as an executor because he fucking can't speak for shit to people,
like,
and he's a shit person.
There's bigger, there's a bigger fish to fry, and it's not the fucking president. He's just a freaking, he's just like, a freaking puppet that's like, distracting us from the real problem. And like, people are not looking at it as that. Like, he's just really distracting us from what's really going on and who's really doing it. It's a way bigger problem. It's a way bigger problem.
Even with Corona, like, look how long it took for him to actually start to do shit. They've been new about Corona.
Have you seen the meme where it's like,
mm-hmm.
have
my
you seen
cousin's
the meme?
Company
how about
ordered
how, where it's
home
like,
offices for all the people in the company in December. That's when their company started implementing the coronavirus,
yeah.
What they were going to do.
People around
they
the world,
ordered
the Vietnam,
all their stuff in December.
All these
we
countries
start,
that were
like,
oh, they're underdeveloped. They're all these countries that were like, they're like, we're the best country, we have all the technology, we go to the
it's
fucking moon.
Countries,
we can't even fucking figure out what to do with society when this shit happens.
It's because those countries
when we hear
can't
about
even
other countries, we know
right
that
now,
everyone is going to come to America
involved,
and everyone's
you know,
involved in America,
exactly.
That it's going to come here.
So yeah,
they wanted this shit to happen.
We're in a privileged
don't
country.
Even, yeah, they wanted this shit. They don't. They know they're fine.
Know everything's
about
privilege right now.
And then the moment,
like, everybody
the
has
moment
to realize
famous people start getting
people
it, everyone
here
they're
are
like,
more
oh,
privileged
shit.
Than the poorest people in some other country.
No, this
and
this
that's a sick. Like that. That's
what
like,
the looting and rioting gives them information to like enforce more law on us. So they're gonna really shut us up. Like, they're gonna try their best to shut us up.
The fact that there was fucking coronavirus around in the fucking air and we didn't have a curfew or no one implemented any schedule or of when people can leave or anything. Like, other countries had schedules. Like, if you're this name, if you're that, you know what I mean? Like, they had schedules of when they can leave their house, how far they can go from their house. There was actually schedules in place. Our country, we're in the worst place in the fucking world in the, for coronavirus.
For a reason.
And we did not have any rules of anything.
Mm-hmm. I could have
done whatever the fuck I wanted whole time.
I think that's also because we're the United States and you're supposed to have more freedom here than anywhere else. So it's probably harder to
But now people are protesting
know?
And...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. People just don't listen here.
But
I feel like other countries took it seriously. Italy, Spain, like they... Like, other country, I don't know about all of them, but like I know Italy took it very seriously from what I hear.
Yeah, no, of course they. And
Peru, I saw like a bunch of.
A lot of people took it seriously.
Like, that shit was serious, like.
No, yeah, there was definitely curfews everywhere.
Yeah.
Besides here.
And here just.
Or when they know they like tested positive in the area, okay, everyone in the area stay in the area. The moment they know.
They did that. The first place in New York they did that was upstate. That was when it first hit New York State. Yeah, it was in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they sent the National Guard to keep everybody in their homes and to send provisions and nobody was allowed to leave the town or anything. And then that shit spread like, you know, once it's here, it's like a cockroach.
It's so hard. It's really hard. Like, it's so, we're so young. We should not have to be dealing with this. It's, I don't know. But we do, and there's a reason, because we're, like, chosen. We're chosen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost chosen. Like, we're all chosen to be on this world, to give a message, to do what we do for a reason. And we have the power. I mean, we got mad homies up there now, so, like, we living to die right now. Like, we got friends.
Yeah.
We have people watching over us. We have an army here and there. We have army. Like, we have support. Whatever we do.
Tell me, yeah, what do you...
I mean, even if you think about what our generation has accomplished through, like, TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that, we're so super innovative through everything we do. Like, we're mad advanced. We're evolved people. Like, we gotta use that.
You want to be everywhere? My fucking co-star right now.
You want to be everywhere?
You want to be everywhere?
Yep. Oh, my co-star says, love is possible.
You know, sometimes there's like
me and Manifest
circle
rebellion.
With like the
magnet. Wow.
It's all for all of us.
It
says Jack, Grace, and 21 others.
Yeah, because it's our generation.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, wait, I never understood
so
what that meant, TT. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would read that
and
be like, oh, this shit's fake. Yeah.
Pluto inside a chair. That's a big one, too. So Pluto stays in your sign for 30 years. meaning it rules a generation more than a person.
Intensity, obsession, and control.
Intensity, obsession, and control. Your Pluto is in Sagittarius, meaning your generation's psyche is comparatively positive, free-spirited, curious, optimistic, forward-looking, independent, and confident.
Yeah.
It's in your 7th house, meaning you personally are transforming outdated forms of close relationships and long-term
How big is that? Oh, here.
I gotta post this shit on Insta and show people some shit.
Yes, this has to do with all of us.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
It won't rip.
Everyone you're friends with.
You know?
Yeah. And then the Neptune in Capricorn, do you have that too?
You can, like, attach.
No, my Neptune's in Aquarius.
Oh, that's you. That's lit.
It rules dreams, imagination, and the unconscious.
Make any
oh, this one is Neptune in Capricorn, meaning your entire generation finds inspiration through hard work, responsibility, seriousness, and ambition.
So that's why that has to do with, honestly, your Chinese zodiac being an ox.
It rules dreams, imagination, and the unconscious.
Yeah. And that's why my generation is more is very different from yours in ways where you guys think those characteristics are more important, and mine is saying that my generation finds inspiration through detached analyses and intellectual pursuits. So it's just like those.
Yeah, that's really those combination of ideas do really well.
They could do really well, but they're very opposites.
Yeah,
in types
but they
of
can
way.
Also like kind of okay, yeah. Yeah. People that don't have the same opinions
exactly.
are gonna be like this, and then you're gonna be like
because with both of our Chinese zodiacs being our years that they are, we aren't really compatible, but we can be if we work it out and use our differences in different ways. Because, like, an ox is more serious, intellectual, serious and detail-oriented, goal-oriented, while a tiger is more free-spirited and wanting to do the next thing and just, like, not really caring and just, I don't know, like, we don't care about plans. We do what our love and mind and body tells us to do, almost.
Yeah.
So we move through our emotions more than our brain. And you guys move through your brain, so you guys kind of look at us like, oh, you guys are kind of like stupid in a way, or like you guys are.
Maybe the way I do things is through emotions, but the way I interpret is through brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I guess like, because I always think I'm emotional, but then like I interpret, if I'm not on, like let's say I'm not on your same vibe and you're just telling me something, like mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Maybe I interpret through my brain, not first thing emotion. But I do things when I'm, you know, I do things through my emotion.
Yes. Yes, because Jack is very emotional, but he's very in his head, in his brain.
Yeah.
You know? So you guys have a different balance than we do when it comes to your brain and your emotions.
Yeah.
Where you guys are more like, it's very different.
That's so interesting. I didn't understand it the first time you explained it to me, the Chinese zodiac, like the difference.
But this actually, like reading this and like listening to this is helping me think about like why it actually, the Chinese zodiac relates to our real zodiac.
I'm an ox.
You guys are both oxes.
So, what are you?
Oh, you have a hair.
I'm a tiger. So, oxes are, like we were saying, with the balance between, you guys think more with your brains and head instead of your emotions. So, but you guys are very emotional.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, even though you're emotional, you're still going to think with your brain.
Yeah.
But with a tiger like me, I'm super free-spirited, I'm super open, and I'm kind of, like, fucking crazy. Like, think about Tigger, you know? That's how I think about a tiger, like me. He uses his emotions before he uses his brain. So I like rather, I don't know, like I'm not using my brain as much. I'm not being like black and white. I'm feeling everything. I'm feeling everybody's emotions. I'm feeling everything out before I move on to the next thing I do.
Yeah.
But that's also like something that I have to like, it fucking sucks that I always act on my emotions.
How many